What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast, episode number 42, with your host, Brandon Rinka, Mr. 365, at the Health, Fitness, and Performance series. Today, we take a look at starting your fitness journey, how to do so in the best possible manner. There's a lot of advice out there, a lot of bad advice, and a little good advice. So we want to direct you to the good advice on this podcast. Stop doing the things that are getting in the way of your health and longevity, and actually give you practices and strategies and a path to start your fitness journey off the right way, the way that's going to give you lasting results, that's going to promote health, longevity, fitness, strength, and personal resiliency over all the other stuff that's marketed just to get you in the gym, but not actually nurture long-term results in the health and fitness space. So guys, enjoy the episode. Like always, feel free to subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and share the podcast with people that would benefit from listening to this. And then maybe they'll subscribe and listen to all the good content I put out here on the Fear Being Average podcast. So enjoy today's episode. So this is an age-old question, right? How do you start your fitness journey? I think it's a great question because when we have that uncertainty and we have a little bit of hesitancy behind, okay, what's the best way to go about this? How do we actually start this massive, process? At least from, the naked eye, it's a massive process. Maybe you've never worked out before. Perhaps you're really overweight. You feel really unhealthy. You're unmotivated, but, slightly motivated to get started. But, you want to see results. It can be a pretty daunting procedure, just getting everything going. And I think there's a massive failure rate within our industry. And I know it is, right? The studies are out there. The research is quite prevalent behind how often people fail within this space. And failure isn't that they don't see any results. It's that people don't keep the results. It's very short-lived. It's very immediate. And over the long haul, people either gain the weight back, they go back to unhealthy habits and pursuits, and they're really not any farther than they were a few months or a few years back. And it's this big yo-yo of, okay, I'm going to take care of my body for a few months or for a year, and then it goes into the other direction. It's back and forth, back and forth. And over time, people stop investing time into this pursuit because nothing really sticks. So clearly something, some sort of advice, the suggestions that we're getting, the plans, this is how you should start your workout fitness journey is not working. It is failing the majority of people. This is a fact. This is not going away until people start pursuing their fitness journey and starting their fitness journey in a much different way. Now, if you want to be that person that does the exact same thing the majority of the people do, that end up failing on their fitness journey, you can just be another number, another part of that statistic, right? So if you choose to do the same thing that everybody does, which we're going to highlight in this podcast, expect long-term failure and bounce back. It's just not sustainable. It's not practical. It's not all that helpful. And it really relies on this constant state of motivation or high volume. And it's just not practical, right? It really isn't. So we're going to highlight the mistakes a lot of people are making, mistakes that the fitness industry and influencers are telling people to do, right? Giving them plans and advice that, yes, will get people great results in the short term if they were to follow it to a T, but again, not sustainable, not all that practical. It is completely neglecting the behavioral and psychological aspect of health and fitness. And it's clearly built around do this, don't do that, follow exactly what I'm saying strategy. And that strategy never works because now we don't have the tools to be successful on our own. And that's where failure really lies, right? It's not knowing how to control our cravings, approach fitness in a very smart, intelligent, physiologically favorable manner, meaning that we're actually doing things to create adaptation, not just to work into the calorie burn sector of the fitness industry, which You know, we prey on so many people because we understand there's the law of thermodynamics of calories in versus calories out. And hey, if we just burn more calories than we're taking in, we're going to lose weight. But it's much more complicated than that, right? That's a part of it. That's definitely a law that's unmistakably true. However, there's a lot of other things that go into that, right? Stress can prevent that. Sleep can prevent that. Behaviors can prevent that from being a consistent. And we need to understand that the body adapts and that we need to phase and approach fitness in a much different way and not just, you know, keep throwing everything at the wall and hopefully it sticks for a long time, because obviously that approach fails many of us. So we're going to kind of highlight the best starting point. I'm going to kind of give you a good directory of, hey, let's go down this path. Let's follow the steps here. It's going to get you great results. It's going to be a phenomenal way to start your fitness journey. And it's going to allow you to see things from a different perspective, see things from a really healthy, mindful perspective, where you're actually nurturing your health and not just chasing an external goal that is surely going to stray away from you months down the road, if not sooner. Okay, so first one, follow a plan, have a structure. We've all heard the quote. If you haven't, I'm going to say that right now. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So many people start a journey without any plan in mind. They have no idea how they're going to maneuver from week one to week two, or month one to month two. They don't have any kind of structure. And for you at home listening to this, how has that worked for you in the past? And in any facet of your life, if you don't have a plan, you have no kind of structure in place of how you're going to get from A to B, how you're going to get from where you are right now to a goal that you have in mind without any blueprint, without any structure in place, how does that work out for you? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question, because it hasn't worked out very well, right? You need a little bit of guidance. You need a path to follow to a certain degree. Obviously, there's times where, hey, we need to navigate and we need to kind of get a little bit off track to actually keep our journey going. But having some sort of a plan to say, hey, this is actually going to lead to progress, this is going to lead to development, is incredibly important, right? It's almost critical to anybody's success, especially when you're starting your fitness journey. So this gets a little bit tricky, because having a plan, there's tons of plans online. You type in workout plan, you're going to find hundreds and hundreds. Now, how to decipher what's a good plan from a bad plan, we're going to kind of get into, but that's the tricky part, right? But having some sort of plan in place that makes sense for your body, from your lifestyle habits, from your lifestyle demands, right? How much you work, do you have kids, you got to go to daycare, do you got to pick them up, is your wife or husband not home at certain times, you have a very stressful period within the year where you're going to be working more hours than not. Teachers, for example, they might have, you know, two months in the summer where it's a lot easier for them to kind of manage their lifestyle and nurture self-care. So having that mindfulness in the back of your head is really important, because it allows you to then kind of structure your routine accordingly to the lifestyle, rather than trying to fit your lifestyle into a workout routine, which typically fails a lot of people, right? Because now we're trying to force fit and force feed nutrition and fitness into a really busy lifestyle. And at the end of the day, when we're talking about keeping a roof over our heads, keeping food on the table and nurturing our relationships, that's going to take precedent over working out. So we need to do a better job of finding a plan that fits our lifestyle and having some sort of structure in place that allows us to see progression, see some adaptation, see growth, see progress. That way we stay motivated, we stay connected to the process, and that we're actually excited, right? It's a return on investment. If you don't see that ROI, you're not gonna be very motivated. Now, with that being said, we want to follow a plan that actually highlights growth in the right direction, which I will get into, okay? Number two, you want to resistance train. You want to get strong and you want to build a base of strength. And this is where most people fail off the bat, right? They completely neglect this period and they go to a point I'm going to make later on in the podcast. And they go towards the exercise modality and the workouts that burn the most calories, that promote the most sweat, that leave them exhausted, that beat the body up. And because they think, oh man, I want to just punish my body into calorie burn, right? I want to do something that exhausts me because I know HIIT works, or I've heard HIIT works, or my friend has done Beachbody, or they've done this class and it's worked for them so, so well, and they've lost all this weight in the first month or two. Okay, so yes, those things can actually get you a result, of course, right? If you all of a sudden start burning 500 more calories per day than you typically were, well, you're going to see some weight loss, right? Now you're taking in 500 calories. If all other things stay equal, you're going to see some weight loss. Now, the body gets really good at adapting to this type of training, especially, right? Because there's only so many, you know, calories you can burn in a given 45-minute period or hour period, right? So you can't just keep that going, right? Eventually, the body adapts to the stress that you're giving it. It's going to become more efficient with calorie burn, right? It's going to get your body or teach your body to, you know, not expend as many calories within that given time, so you become more efficient at that exercise, i.e. you become better at that form of exercise. So the only solution becomes, well, I'm going to go for longer, I'm going to train harder potentially, which again leads to a much greater stress demand and isn't all that practical. You can only train so hard, you can only train so long. Or you go into a state of, I'm going to eat less, plus I'm going to train longer and harder. And again, how sustainable is that? It's not very sustainable, or it's not sustainable at all, because now we're really negatively affecting our health, right? Our hormones, our metabolism. We're not creating adaptation. We're simply just throwing more things on the table to get the calorie reduction. So what we want to do is the opposite. We want to build the body up. And again, this sounds contradictory to what most people have done their whole lives or been told their whole lives. And that is to burn calories and, you know, train for the sweat. But when we resistance train, if you really think about it, that is the one modality that is positive across the board, right? Not only do we see strength gains and we get stronger, we increase lean muscle tissue, we improve ligament and tendon health, we help reduce the risk of injuries, we increase bone density, we increase our metabolism, our basal metabolic rate, right? We improve our hormone profile, we boost testosterone, we help actually reduce cortisol and catabolic hormones that are negatively anti-tissue, right? They're built, they're breaking away tissue, right? That's what cardio and those kind of high sweat, high calorie burn workouts do. They're not very anabolic, you know, they're more catabolic, right? They're anti-tissue. They don't want you to hold a lot of muscle because muscle, you know, requires a lot of energy. It's very expensive tissue. And if we want to become more efficient at a cardio modality, for example, it doesn't behoove us to have more muscle mass. It actually benefits us to have less muscle mass because, like I said, that's an expensive tissue. So what we want to do is really hone in on building our body up, getting it stronger, but doing it the right way. We want to build a base of strength. Most people that get into fitness for the first time, they're starting the fitness journey or they're reintroducing fitness into their life, their body is no longer structurally sound, right? They have a lot of imbalances, a lot of weaknesses. Their core strength isn't very developed or strong. They have poor ankle mobility and hip mobility and shoulder mobility. They have a lot of tightness within their body, and they're just not strong as a whole, right? They don't have a lot of lean muscle mass. They probably have more fat tissue than they need or want. They have not a great cardio respiratory system. So there's a lot going on against them. So to throw them into a modality that is going to completely negate proper form, quality mechanics, getting stronger, building lean tissue, increase your metabolism, doesn't make any sense. We're literally throwing people into a lion's den and saying, good luck, try to survive, while we throw all this shit at you, never give you the opportunity to get better at a particular exercise or movement, and expect you to actually thrive in that environment. It makes no sense. We're getting people to do things that are far outside their capability, right? With improper form, which again, good luck getting a great result or continuing on your fitness journey when you're constantly being injured or you're having your body aggravated with pain and tightness or inflammation. So we want to dial it back. We want to build up a very strong, sound structure so your body feels confident and comfortable to move in a variety of positions, right? We're able to hinge properly. We're able to lunge and squat and push and pull and press with comfort. And we're able to do so with a sound structure, with a nice strong base, right? With a strong trunk, strong engaged glutes to help alleviate back pain and knee issues. We want to improve ankle and hip mobility, and doing random shit at a high intensity is never going to get any of that achieved, right? You're more likely to get a really great sweat on, exhaust the body, feel great after the workout because you have that massive dopamine kick, but you never actually address the root cause of your issue, and it's only a matter of time before those issues arise at such an extent where the body's not adapting and or it's in a massive state of pain and regression. So we want to do the opposite of chase the sweat in the high intensity class work and crazy cardio, and we want to build our body up. We want to get it strong, right? Build a base, take 3 to 6 months to get really strong, do some form of intelligent resistance training following a nice phased, periodized program, meaning that every 4 to 6 weeks, the workouts are slightly changing. Why do we want to stay in that for 4 to 6 weeks? We want to get good at the movements. We want to improve. It's a practice. I would never say, tell someone, okay, you're starting basketball for the first time. On day one, we're going to shoot threes. The next day is layups. The next day, we're going to go for free throws. The next day, we're going to go for dribbling. The next day, we're going to do this. And then we never get good at it. Like, we need to practice all those things every single day. We need to dribble and do drills every single day. We need to learn how to shoot and pass and play defense and move our body in a structurally sound manner every single day. I can't expect you to do it one time and get the hang of it. It's going to take weeks and months to get good at it. Hell, I'm still learning how to squat properly every single time. Yes, I know how to do it, obviously, but again, I'm still always teaching my body to move as effectively as possible with sound structure. And that's a big reason that with over 15 years of exercise experience and a lot longer of physically demanding sport experience, I've never really been injured, right? And yes, I'm one story, you know, I'm my own personal anecdote, but however, I put myself in some extreme states, but I've always nurtured building a strong base and allowing that to be the primary goal before adding in all these high intensity dynamic movements that typically, if without a strong base, will only put me in a worse state of being. So we want to make sure we nurture building a strong base, resistance train with an intelligent program, which I will kind of highlight at the end of this as well. Number three, we want to start slow. How many times, again, we're going to go back into the rhetorical question of it all. How many times have we started a workout program, or you know someone who has started an exercise or fitness journey, and they're like, I'm going to go from sitting on a couch to 5 to 6 to 7 days a week of exercise. Hell, I love the drive. I love the ambition. However, this isn't very sustainable. You're taking someone from point A and you're throwing them to point Z right off the bat. The body doesn't really work that way. You know, you can do it if you do it in a really intelligent manner, and we can get into that, like the intensity can be manipulated, but it's better for you to do something that you're going to stick to, right? Again, Our fitness journey is not about what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 months. If you're thinking like that, you are going to fail in the long term, obviously, because you're going to completely negate long-term behavioral strategies, and you're going to only focus on what's going to get me the best result over the next 2 to 3 months with no concern of how that affects me month 4, 5, 6, year 1, year 2, year 3, right? So I highly suggest start slow, give your body a chance to adapt. And once it kind of adapts, then feel free to add in and pile on more work, more volume, more intensity. So when I say start slow, I'm talking about 2 to 4 days a week of some form of actual exercise. Now, I highly suggest that every day of the week, we're still moving our body. So don't miss out on the idea that when I say start slow, that means that 3 or 4 or 5 of the days of the week, you're doing nothing, right? What I'm talking about is I want 2 to 4 days a week where we actually schedule out time to exercise and work out and train the body. Ideally, 2 to 3 of those days are some form of resistance training, where 1 or 2 of those days is more of a potentially conditioning or mobility session. Then the other days are simply built around a zone 1 type of aerobic work, meaning we're keeping the heart rate at a relatively low rate. Think about power walking or hiking or cycling or swimming laps at a low intensity. That would be your zone 1 type work that I would love for people to engage in throughout the rest of the week. The easiest, go for walks. Early on, resistance train and do some mobility work 2 to 4 times per week. And then the other days, get your body moving, get your steps in. Don't undervalue this. A few years ago, I probably wouldn't have been a massive fan of this advice. But as I've matured, as I've seen that, okay, the research is clearly out there that 80 to 90% of people fail on their fitness journey because they try too much too soon, or they try an approach that just doesn't work and doesn't actually give them lasting results. So I've changed my tune on a lot of things, this being one of them. We want to make sure our body is moving every single day. We want to increase blood flow. We want to speed up recovery. We want to increase circulation. We want to create a habit of, hey, our body moves every day. We lunge every day to a certain degree. We squat down, you know, we take strides. We're actually doing something that creates a little bit of exertion. Low intensity exertion, sure. Then over time, we can add and move into zones 2 and 3 in terms of our cardiovascular health and our aerobic workouts, or maybe even anaerobic cardio. And then we can kind of add in a little bit more volume of resistance training as well, whether that's intensity, reps or sets, or volume throughout the week in terms of adding workouts in. But early on, you want to get strong. And believe me, 2 to 3 days a week of resistance training early on is more than enough. Most people don't need 4 to 5 days a week of resistance training, obviously, right? Like, you can go 3 days a week of full body workouts and get phenomenal results if you pair all the other lifestyle habits with it as well, obviously. That kind of goes without saying. If you're working out 1 or 5 days a week, if you're not doing all the other stuff, don't expect phenomenal results. So starting slow, it just makes things less daunting. That's the psychological and behavioral aspect. Is 4 days a week of resistance training, 2 days a week of some form of cardio and some mobility going to get you better results early on? Absolutely. But again, let's look at this from a psychological behavioral standpoint. As a nutrition coach and a fitness coach and a strength coach, you need to take in the behavioral aspects with people, right? If not, you're setting them up for failure. So when I suggest starting slow, it's allowing the body to get into a new routine. It's basically like saying, hey, we got a lot to do, but what we're going to focus on this week is one thing, one good habit. That one good habit for nutrition can be, let's get protein with all our meals. You see how that's slow? It's not, hey, let's get 30 grams of protein with our 4 to 5 meals a day. It's not, hey, let's bump this up for every single meal of the day. It's a simple, hey, let's eat protein with every single meal. That can be 10 grams or 20 grams, whatever. But I'm getting them in a position where they're used to having every meal, sit down or snack, whatever that they want to do early on, to have protein in that meal. And that's going to do them a lot of good, because they've probably gone from 40 grams of protein that they were eating previously to maybe 80 or 100. And if, although that's still low from what I would want them to do, I'm moving in the right direction. If I were to take them from 40 grams of protein, to 160, well, now that's going to be tough. It's going to feel very overwhelming. It's going to be daunting. It's going to be a challenge, and challenge so much so that they might actually resist and push back and say, this is too hard, right? So we want to slowly get them in into the routine, right? All I'm trying to do here is to get the little chipmunk to come towards me. I'm not trying to scare it off. If I want to scare it off, I'll simply chase it and run after it, right? And I'll make a lot of loud noises. That's the equivalent of saying, hey, we're going to do 5 to 7 days a week of working out. We're going to eat this way. We're going to follow that plan. You're going to sleep at 9 p.m. You're going to get up at 6 a.m. We're going to work out then. That's the equivalent of me chasing somebody off. So we want to start slow, but we want to do it in a manner that creates physiological adaptation, hence why we're going to resistance train. If you did 2 days a week off the bat, or 2-3 days a week off the bat of cardio, and the other days were walking, you're leading yourself up for failure, right? You are literally going right back into a place we don't want to be. So we want to make sure we're following what we've already said. Follow a plan, resistance train, start slow. Number four, we're going to get into see your fitness journey as a lifestyle. So it's an infinite pursuit. If this sounds overwhelming, that, oh my God, my fitness journey is going to last forever, you got to give your head a shake here. Okay? Fitness and health is a lifestyle. It's not something you should pursue over 2 to 3 months. If it is, or even a year, stop listening to my podcast. I'm never going to preach that shit. I'm never going to give you that advice. Because again, I don't care about what happens over the next 2 to 3 months. Now, from a business standpoint, I'd probably make more money if I said, hey, get your best results ever in 3 to 6 months and never work out again. Would that get me more money? Would that sell more programs? Would that build my audience faster? Probably. Well, not even probably, definitely. But I don't preach that advice, because I talk about the importance of a lifestyle of health and fitness, because it's so important. It's so much more than how your body looks. It's how your body feels. It's how your body performs. It's how your mind feels. It's how your mind performs, right? It's psychological. It's physical. It's personal. It's emotional. There's so many things that go into working out that to this day, I love building my body up. I love taking on projects and challenges that are built around my level of strength and fitness and resiliency. However, when I go to the gym, it is my mind that gets the best workout. I'm most excited when I go to the gym to know that, man, I'm going to feel great leaving the gym, going into the gym, and being at the gym, right? So for me, I could work out twice a week. And I know how to work out, right? I could do 2 resistance training workouts a week, and I could keep a relatively really good shape, okay? I could have a really good build to myself by 2 days a week, and then just walking and doing some light stuff on the side. However, the reason I go to the gym so much is to, yes, speed up the gains a little bit, but more so because I love it. I love the mental vitality and stimulation I get from working out. And I love how I feel. My creativity and productivity and personal engagement goes up from working out and being in the gym. So we need to see this fitness journey not as something we're going to accomplish in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years. It's focusing on the day. It's focusing on the next day. It's just focusing on one day at a time. And I'm telling you right now, this is the best advice I can ever give somebody, is just do the thing day after day. Don't worry about what's to come. If you do and you show up every single day and pursue your fitness journey, you're going to have amazing results. You're going to have a great transformation. 3 years from now, you're going to be 3 years older, right? 5 years from now, you're going to be 5 years older. Why not be in great shape for those years? Stop chasing the next 2 to 6 months and chase a lifetime of health, not just for the physical attributes and achievements you're going to inevitably accomplish, but the health and the longevity and the strength and the resiliency that your body is going to accomplish by just pursuing and seeing fitness as a lifestyle. Like, you're going to feel way better. Your quality of life is going to improve. Your well-being is going to improve. Your mental, emotional, physical, personal, financial state is probably going to improve based on you taking your fitness journey and seeing it as a lifestyle and making it a part of your life. It's not a chore. It should be enjoyable. It should be fun. It should be engaging and stimulating. And it teaches growth, right? It is the one pursuit in life where you're constantly challenging your body and mind and constantly building towards a stronger, healthier you. And it's just so damn rewarding. So this is a never-ending process, but don't see it as a negative. That's good, because guess what? This process betters your life. So why would you want it to end? If that's where your mind is, it's like, wow, this never ends, you have a completely distorted perception of fitness and health. I would be devastated if my fitness journey ended, because I know how much that would affect my mental and physical and emotional health. I understand how much my life improves by having fitness as a constant in my life. So this is what we need to look at. This is how we need to reframe health and fitness. We need to see it as something that enhances our quality of life, isn't something that burdens our life. And if it burdens your life, you need to find a different approach, a different reframe, a different perspective, and you need to do something differently to keep on this journey, because you have not nurtured the genuine authenticity of health and fitness. You have completely missed the point of why you should be on a health and fitness journey. You've neglected all the internal longevity building benefits and practices of fitness and health, and you've completely focused on the right now. And even that, the right now is better when you are taking care of your body and mind. And maybe you've never given yourself a chance to actually eat right for 3 months and work out and exercise and move your body every single day and to have your sleep on point and to manage your stress and to be more mindful and to actually see, wow, my gut feels better. My hormones feel better. I have more energy. I have more vigor. My sex life is improved. I feel better about myself. I feel more confident. I feel more motivated. I'm more driven. I'm more excited. I'm more stimulated. I'm taking on new challenges that push and challenge the body. And wow, discomfort's actually something that I love, because it allows me to grow into a better, stronger, more confident version of myself. So again, we need to see it as a lifestyle. We need to also pair it with all the other aspects of life. Health and fitness is not just exercise and nutrition. It is sleep. It is stress management. It is mindfulness, right? So we need to nurture those things. Don't think I'm going to get great results and continue on this path for a lifetime if you completely negate and neglect taking care of your sleep. Set boundaries, just like you would set time aside to work out or meal prep. Do the same for sleep. Don't be the person that's so ignorant to say, well, I'm going to do those two things, but I'm going to completely neglect actually taking care of my mind every single day, getting quality sleep every single day. I don't know how many clients I've had in the past that will put the work in with me, then throughout the rest of the week, they completely neglect taking care of themselves. And they put themselves in situations where their sleep is going to be compromised. They're going to have a completely crappy sleep. They're going to do nothing every single day to actually improve their stress management, right? They're not going to use techniques or practices or devices to actually help with that. And they go back to the same old shit because it's tempting. It's addicting. And it's hard. It's not easy to nurture these things. But when you do, your life is so much better. And I know I sound like a broken record here, but I have to say it over and over and over, because most people are not getting the message, right? They're about fast results and they're about one or two things, where for me, it's about five or six things and doing it the right way and understanding that, wow, my life is way better when I do this. It isn't a chore. It's a chore not to do these things, because now my life becomes chaotic, becomes stressful, becomes overwhelming, becomes anxiety-ridden. It can become depressive. So there's tons of things. Why would you want to live in that state? Stop living in that state. Do something about it. Be accountable. Hold yourself to a much higher standard of living and quality of life, and actually pursue health and fitness as an infinite pursuit. Okay, moving on to sharing your goal and desire with family and friends. You don't want to pursue health and fitness by yourself. I get the idea that, hey, I want to be quiet about it. You know, I don't want to set these high standards, and I don't want to tell people I'm going to do something and then not live up to what I told them or live up to the expectations for myself. But again, if you're pursuing health and fitness and everybody around you is going down a way different direction. Now, I'm not saying that these people have to join you on your journey, but what I'm asking from this topic right now is for you to share your goal and desire with your family and friends so they become supportive of your goal. They're not constantly putting temptation in front of you. They're not constantly deliberately eating in a manner that's going to tempt you, right? Maybe they actually decide to change their lifestyle because they go, wow, I'm so proud of the person that you're trying to become. I'm going to try to be supportive by adopting a few of those lifestyle habits myself. I'm going to nurture my sleep. I'm going to nurture my stress management. I'm going to nurture eating a more well-balanced diet. I'm going to nurture my physical health by going for walks with you or exercising with you or joining a gym with you. So this is what I'm talking about. When we're all quiet about it and we're one in four or five in the house that's trying to do something better, but our kids and our husband or wife is doing the complete opposite, you're fighting an uphill battle. You're fighting against resistance the whole time. You're coming home and half your family or three quarters of your family is eating McDonald's and you're trying to eat a chicken salad or chicken and rice, or you're trying to meal prep when everybody else is eating Krispy Kreme donuts for breakfast. Good luck with that journey. The most successful transformations I've seen, I'm witness to, and again, this goes, you know, hands down without debate, are people that have a supportive network. If your network's not supportive of what you're doing, you need to have a critical conversation with these people. I used to work in a marketing job. It was a direct business-to-business, you know, sales job. And they always preached, you need to have critical conversations with your team members 2 to 3 times a day. That doesn't mean that critical in terms of this is going to be a hard, difficult, you know, tough conversation where I'm going to lay into them. It's more so a critical conversation in towards their development and to be on the same page and to create great results. So, but we want to have those conversations. We want to have an open dialogue that allows people to be on the same page as you, at least understand and appreciate your point of view, right? And if they do resist it, if they do push back, then you know, well, maybe I need to spend less time in this environment, in this space, or with these people, right? And we need to do a better job of protecting our environment, protecting what we consume. And we need to do a better job of being a step ahead of the game and not allowing their actions or their decisions to dictate your results, because I don't care what's going on at home at the end of the day or what's going on with your, you know, outside life with your friends or work, it still comes down to you, right? So this still is a you thing, but what I'm trying to highlight is way easier to accomplish this for yourself when your network is supportive. So don't let the excuse be, well, my network's shitty and they don't support me and they always tempt me and they bug me about my journey. Well, then you need to do a better job to separate and remove yourself from that environment or have deeper, more authentic conversations about that and try to create habits across the board so everyone is kind of on board. And I'm telling you, if you're the person in your friends or family's life who is progressing, who's getting stronger, feeling better, looking great, right? Your life is thriving. You're doing better at work. You're having a much better home life because of it. And you have more energy to give more of your love, more of yourself. People admire that. They want to be that. Nobody wants to be a lazy version of themselves. No one wants to be the bottom feeder of the group. No one wants to feel like, wow, I'm literally in a live experience of someone going down a path of progression and here I am in a path of regression. Like, no one wants to be that person. So I'm telling you, if you keep thriving, if you keep developing, more people are going to jump on that board, on that, I guess, yeah, on that direction, right? They're not going to fight you on that. And if they do, if for whatever reason, they're that insecure, they're that shitty or negative of a person that they want to bug you about you pursuing something in the face of progression, well, that says way more about them than it does you. And then you need to make the decision to say, well, is this someone who's actually rooting for me? Is this someone who's actually trying to help me improve my life? And if not, why am I still around them? Why am I still friends with them? Right? And I know this is a deeper conversation, not necessarily easy to have or even think about, but it's the reality of the situation. If I have people that aren't rooting for me, they're not in my life anymore. Like, what am I doing? I need to own my situation. I need people that aren't just yes men or women, right? I want them to tell me what I need to hear, but I need them to be happy in my accomplishments, and I need to be happy in their accomplishments, because that's the only way that we're going to constantly see progression and development is when we're rooting and helping each other within that pursuit. Okay, let's move on here. Have some form of external accountability. So when you start your fitness journey, having accountability, some sort of system of accountability, has shown to have dramatic results. I think there's some Harvard or Stanford study that showed that success goes up to about 90% or goes up 90% with some form of external accountability. That can be an accountability partner or a group or community of some kind, or a coach, obviously, would be a phenomenal resource of accountability. So this helps big time. Does this necessarily guarantee you success? Of course not, right? Because there's so many other things that we need to do. Like if we're not nurturing 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 that we've talked about so far, that external accountability is going to help you a little bit, but it's still not going to get you where you need to go, right? It's still a massive ecosystem of all these things working in unity. But if you don't have some form of accountability and you think that you're just going to show up and work out and train smart and do it the right way and stay consistent, you're probably a little bit naive, right? We have to understand that there are so many moving parts in our life, right? We're not necessarily expected to be the person who thinks in a rational, progressive manner, right? Because we haven't been that person. If you're just starting your fitness journey, that means all the years leading up, or the last few months or last few years, you have neglected this part of your life. So obviously personal accountability hasn't been great for you. You haven't been the best source of accountability for yourself. So this would be a massive indicator to say, hey, how would I rely, or at least have someone help me through this process? Give me advice, keep me accountable, give me suggestions, you know, answer questions for me, give me a plan or a program, or at least help educate me in this process. Like, create certainty for yourself. Like, I've never really understood when someone's pursuing a specific journey that they wouldn't outsource accountability. Like, why are you trying to do it by yourself? Like, success leaves clues. Listen and learn from the people that can actually help you in the external accountability. So if that's on your cards for a coach or some sort of group or a class environment that can actually help out with accountability, you have a partner. You know, maybe it is your spouse, perhaps it's a best friend. Those are a little tricky, right? Obviously, sometimes, because if it's two people that don't know what the hell they're doing, it's great that you have accountability, but obviously you need some sort of plan in place, going back to our number one point. So you want to make sure the person that you are being accountable to is also an accountable person as well, right? There has to be this fine line where you're both not excuse-oriented, you both don't rationalize a lot, you're both relatively accountable to yourselves or to the other person at least, and you have the best interest of the other person in mind. So accountability can be so damn important. I mentioned classes there. Yes, I think classes are such a good way for people to be held accountable. The only problem is most of the classes completely negate number two. They don't resistance train or get the body strong enough. They don't build a good base, and they throw them into this idea of high volume, high intensity workouts that don't have proper structure or periodization or just a layout to actually harness muscle growth. And that's just the facts. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you're not going to go to a class environment and find that, because it's not all that exciting in a class environment. Telling someone, or telling a group of 20 people, to rest 2 minutes between sets, people are going to go, well, I just want to work. I just want to work out. And because these gyms just want to make money, they go, okay, well, I'm going to give the people what they want. Even though it's not what they need, I'm going to give them what they want. They want high intensity. They want a sweat. They want people to yell. They want music to be loud. They want calorie burn. They want exhaustion. They want this sense of community. So we're just going to give it to them. God bless them. Love how they're out there, because hell, they're at least getting people moving and exercising. However, when you're starting your fitness journey, that wouldn't be the source of accountability I would look towards, because they are completely neglecting points 2, points 3, points 4, points 1, kind of. They're not really following a plan or structure. They're just doing shit. So again, not all that effective. They're doing a great job in number 5, and they're doing a good job of some form of external accountability. So keep that in mind, right? Perhaps that's something that you get into down the road for a month or three, you know. But again, I know this is an uphill topic or battle I'm taking on, because I could be talking to a lot of people that love classes. I'm not a huge fan of what they provide people for long-term physical adaptation. Now, that's because I'm a result-driven coach. I'm not a let's have fun in the gym at all cost coach. Those are two different things. Some people love the fun. They want the excitement. They want this stimulation in the community. That's all they care about. They're not all that result driven. God bless them. Go do any form of exercise you want. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. Because I'm a result driven strength coach, I'm a strength endurance athlete. I do things that are based around getting a certain adaptation result. This is how I train people, because that's what gets people the best results over the long haul. So it's finding that balance, but this is always something I'm going to preach, because I know it works. I know what doesn't for people in the long term. Results are a big part of it. Okay, we are going in to our final one, and that's don't chase the sweat, don't chase restrictions, or don't do the calorie burn workouts when you first start your journey. Again, brand's taking on some battles, so I'm taking on some things that are so highly promoted in this space. The idea of sweat your ass off, stop eating as many calories as you're eating, and burn a crap ton of calories is the narrative. That's everything. Find any influencer online that is based around short-term 30-day transformations, 60-day transformations. It's based on all those things. Let's sweat a lot. Doesn't really matter what exercise we do. Just let's sweat a shit ton. Let's restrict a bunch of calories. We're going to eat 1,000 to 1,200 calories. We have more protein in the diet, but you know, obviously 1,000 to 1,200 calories, not a lot. And it's very little, actually. It's going to really fuck up your hormones, and it's going to, you know, affect your moods, and it's going to actually lose you some muscle mass. You're not going to build muscle mass with that amount of calories. And it's really hard to maintain, because you're just not going to have the nutrient requirement or nutrient density to actually keep muscle mass in your body. And you're doing things that are relatively catabolic, like high intensity cardio or movement or cardio in itself. And then those calorie burn workouts, right? So if we're restricting, we're chasing sweat, and we're chasing calorie burn workouts, yes, the body is going to transform. I have clients, I give them amazing results. If they follow this to a T for 2 to 3 months, they would look like a completely different person. However, I would be absolutely fucking them up. I would be getting them in a massively catabolic state. They're going to be burning a crap ton of muscle, completely anti-tissue. They're not going to be building a strong base. They're going to be decreasing, slowing down their metabolism. They are going to mess up a ton of their hormones, right? They're going to have a very imbalanced, out of whack hormone profile in terms of high cortisol, low testosterone, low growth hormone, high chronic insulin most likely. It's going to do them a lot of bad, right? We're going to have tougher time to sleep. We're going to have a hard time, or really no opportunity, to build muscle. Stress is going to be at an all-time high. Cortisol is obviously off the charts at this point. So if you were to think all those things are worth it, getting a great result in 2 to 3 months is worth all the things I just mentioned: low sex drive, low energy, metabolism dramatically slowed down, high chronic cortisol, low testosterone, low quality of life, poor sleep. Is it worth it? No, obviously. right? That's a terrible strategy. That's completely negating what we talked about in topic or point number four when we're seeing fitness as a lifestyle. This is completely contradictory of viewing your fitness journey as a health journey, right? This is not healthy. That's not a healthy thing to do at all. It's unhealthy. Now, on paper, the average person is going to say, wow, you look great. They are going to have no idea what you did to your body. And good luck keeping that result, because guess what? You're going to have to stay in a place of low calorie. You're going to have to stay in a place of high volume. You're going to have to stay in a place of low energy, low libido, high cortisol, low testosterone, low, slow metabolism. Like, these are not places to stay. They're places to maybe be in if you're going for a bodybuilder competition, because you need to, because you're trying to get your body to 4% or 3% and be jacked and shredded. For the average person, horrible strategy, completely backwards advice, completely negates and nullifies what true health is. So if you do this, you didn't learn anything from the podcast, right? Might as well stop listening to me or listen to more of what I have to say, because this is a bad, poor, piss poor strategy. And if any coach, any person is telling you that, they are not thinking about your health. They're not thinking about longevity. They're not thinking about what this is going to do for you in the long term. They are purely thinking about, how can I get a great testimonial, great results from somebody in the next 2 to 3 months so I look like a fucking genius. That's it. Right? So don't be that person. Don't be the jabroni who follows this strategy, because not only do you gain that weight back, you're going to. It is what it is. But you're going to create a very unhealthy relationship with food and exercise and fitness, right? You're going to have no new behaviors that actually work for you, like eating a well-balanced diet and nurturing sleep and improving mindfulness and building up a strong, connected body. But you're probably going to gain more weight than you actually had previously. Those are what the studies show, that you actually rebound far more than that, because here's the thing. Your body's in a state of famine, a state of restriction. So your body's going to want a crap ton. And when you go away for a week, or you have a holiday and you eat a certain way and you go well past that 1,000 or 1,200 calories, your body's going to eat more, and you're going to probably get into a state where you actually add fat cells. Now, you can't get rid of fat cells. You can limit the size of them, but once they're there, they're there. So you have to be very careful about you rebounding into a place where you actually gain more weight than you had previously, because now you're holding on to more fat cells than you had before this massive transformation. And I've seen it. I've seen people lose, not, I'm talking about big weight. I'm talking about these people that are 330 pounds go down to like 220. Massive transformations based off of this, sweating hard, ton of calorie burn, a ton of volume, like 3 to 4 workouts in a row, right? Eating in a restrictive manner, not building strength, not building connection, not improving form or technique. They stop working out for a bit. COVID just happened. Gyms closed. Guess what happened? They gain it all back. If that same person for those 8 to 12 or 14 months got strong, improved 50 pounds in their squat, perfected technique, or got really good with their technique and mechanics, ate a well-balanced diet, built up their metabolism, maybe they lost 30 pounds instead of those 100, but they had a faster, revved up metabolism. They were a lot stronger. They had way more muscle mass, because again, if you're losing 80 pounds, you're not building a lot of muscle. You're just losing a bunch of fat. So maybe they lost 30 pounds of fat, but they gained 5-10 pounds of muscle. That's a much better, healthier give and take than the former, right? So we got to see it for what it is. And this is such a good framework for your starting point of your fitness journey. So let's go over them. Let's do a little quick summary, right? We want to follow a plan, follow a structure, have something in place that makes sense, that's built around all the other stuff we talked about. Resistance training, get strong, build a base level of strength and connection and core stability and mobilization. Start slow. Don't overwhelm yourself right off the bat. See your health and fitness journey as a lifestyle, as an infinite pursuit, and be excited about that. Eat in a well-balanced manner. Get some good quality sleep. Manage your stress and mindfulness. Enjoy the process. Share your goal and desire with your family and friends. Tell them that you need or want their support. Ask them for it. Do it together. Have some form of external accountability. Is it an accountability partner? Is it a coach? Is it some online community that can help give you advice and motivation? Some form of outside external accountability is going to be huge for you. And don't chase the sweat, calorie restrictions, or calorie burn workouts off the bat. This is a bad strategy. I think I highlighted it pretty damn well why I hate that so much. So there you go, guys. That is the podcast for today. If you like this, if people need to hear this, send it off to them. Share the podcast. Guess what? It's a simple button. You hit share, then you share it right to their message. It goes right to them. You don't got to do anything else. Boom. Bob's your uncle. You're good to go. Now they have learned all this stuff on how to pursue their fitness journey in a well-structured manner. Also, feel free to rate the podcast and keep listening to the Fear Being Average podcast for more valuable content to help you improve your fitness, health, and performance. Enjoy the day.